this theme of messages that I've been sharing is on divine increase, and we've looked at it a couple of different ways, and we've shared some thoughts on that. And I had been hearing down in the inside for a number of months. It just kept coming up, increase, 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 increase. That's all I kept hearing, increase. Now, to me, yeah, you can increase in the natural. There's a lot of different ways you can increase in what you're doing in the natural. You can get more education, you can get another job, you can do things to increase in different areas of your life. But we're talking about, if we're going to have anything that's lasting, we're talking about divine increase. And so when we talk about divine increase, God, you know, has said through his epistles, he said, I wish above all things that you would what? Prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And there are so many other scriptures that you can look at and see where God has always wanted his people to increase. Never go backward. Never, if he's in me, how could I lack? That's why he said, don't be obsessed with money. You don't lack. He said, you've got me in you. So he's the greater one. I'm increasing. I'm always increasing. Everything I set my hands to is blessed. Everything I do is blessed. And you need to have that kind of thinking and that kind of mindset that God is in me, therefore I bring the wisdom of God to this setting. We're going to increase. He's going to show us how to do this and to increase in what we do. God always wants us to increase, right? But I like this in the New Living Translation. It says, this is 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. It says, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit. See, so when we talk about the real me as a spirit, yes, it's important to be healthy, but it's also, he said, as you are strong in spirit. So in this times that we live in, with all of the things that bombard us and our mind and flesh and all of the stuff, if you don't maintain a strong spirit, it can be a problem. Because what'll happen is you keep feeding on the natural things, what you see, what you hear, what's around you. If you keep feeding on that, what you feed upon gets into your soul. And then ultimately, if you embrace it and keep talking about it, it'll get down into your heart and then becomes a stronghold. So when we talk about, you know, when we talk about when Paul said, casting down imaginations and everything, that every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you know, whenever somebody says, oh, that's a stronghold. Let me ask a question. How many think when it says stronghold, we think of something evil? Pretty much everybody goes, yep, yep. But let me ask a question. Could we have a spiritual stronghold of the Word of God? Oh, yeah. If you keep feeding, you keep feeding, you keep feeding. It says that let this mind that's in you be redeemed. It says, what does it say in Romans 12:2? It says that we are to do what? Have our minds renewed that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I get my mind renewed and I get the Word of God down in my heart, it's a stronghold. It's a stronghold against all of these thoughts and things that come, isn't it? So the devil doesn't get a foothold. But if we keep listening to all of these things and we keep letting them in, keep talking about them, and we don't, it doesn't mean they don't exist. You know, we can't walk around like an ostrich or something, stick our head in the sand and just say, oh, bless God, it doesn't exist. Yes, it does exist. But we're to cast it down. And what does it say in Revelation? I think it's in chapter 12. It says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the what? The word of our testimony. So we're to keep feeding, keep feeding, keep feeding, keep feeding, and it becomes a mighty fortress, a stronghold. Hallelujah. And so God wants us to maintain a strong spirit. How do we do that? Feeding on the word of God, praying in the Holy Ghost. This is what Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In the Passion Translation it says, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Some translations say being enriched. You know, when they talk about, you know, things where you hear in the news, you know, they're enriching this plutonium. It's being enriched to bring it to another percentage where they can make something out of it. It's being enriched. Well, it's same thing. They're saying that your faith can be enriched or built up on the foundation of your most holy faith. How do we do that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and then you can build that up and enrich it by praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. And you begin to maintain a strong spirit so that when the winds of life come, there's a mighty fortress that can guard you. Now think about this. I like this scripture in Luke 6, verse 47 and 48 and 49. Let's read this in the King James. This is the parable that Jesus was talking about, the house that's built on a rock and a house that's built on sand. But I like Luke 6, starting in verse 47, it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which did what? Built a house. So the man built the house. And then it says, and digged deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So that means the stuff is going to come. But we need to do what? Build our house, dig down deep, put it on a foundation or a rock, build the foundation on a rock, so that when the stuff comes, it can't shake you. And then it goes on. It says, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. So this man built a house without a foundation, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So let me ask this question. The house that is built on the sand and the house that's built on the rock, they look the same. They look the same till the storm came. Both those houses look the same until the storm came. One stood and one was destroyed. So Jesus is giving us an example here. He's saying you need to maintain a strong spirit. You need to maintain that. and you are a spirit, and you never forget. You always have his presence. He's in me. And I don't care what comes. He's in me. But I also need to take some responsibility during these times and continue to feed and not get so busy that I forget who's in me. He loves me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we need to feed on his word. Just take 10, 15 minutes. If you got more time, do it. Feed on it. Speak it. Talk it. Pray in the Spirit. And maintain this spirit. Keep it strong. Keep it stirred up. Because I can tell you, the people in the world are chasing after the things of the world. And they have no idea that there's a bridge out. And they're on this path at full steam, and they don't know there's a bridge out. It's called hell. But we do. And we don't have to get on that same track. We can live life and do the things that we need to do, but we need to maintain our consciousness of advancing the kingdom of God. That's what I'm talking about, advance. We need to advance in this time, not pull back. All these things that are going on, we need to keep a mindset that his return is so close. The return of Christ is so close. You can see it in society. You can see it in the signs of the time. When we look at just what's going on, I was sharing this a few weeks ago. If you just look at the things that are going on, the whole deal with Afghanistan, we're watching right before our eyes the beginning of alliances between Arab nations. Some are going to be what? They're all coming together to come against who? Israel. And they're all going to start aligning themselves to be with Israel. You're seeing it right before your eyes. And you're seeing the as it says in Matthew 24, it says because of the increase of iniquity, it says that the love of many is waxing cold. We're seeing it. And so his return is so close, so close. We need to be conscious of that, remind ourselves, I'm a spirit. And I'm about, Pastor Clinton used to say it when he was alive, he'd say, Jesus is our focus and kingdom building is our job. We're about, however God uses you in whatever settings to share something good, something great about the God that has saved you. Love people. Love them. You know, you just think about it. People that live in those Arab countries and live under, I'm talking about maybe not necessarily as much in this country, we don't see it, but, you know, the couple that we support that, well, they got out of Afghanistan during just, and they were at the airport and they got out, you know, quickly. But, he said, you know, he didn't have a problem with the Taliban. You know, he always told us, you know, we were speaking to him recently. He said, you know, I'm Jamaican. And he said, I carry my Jamaican passport and my United States passport. So when I travel around the country up north near Tajikistan, he said, when I go there, I always have my Jamaican passport. So they just, you know, the Taliban go, that's that crazy Jamaican. Leave him alone. So he said, they're calling him, asking him to come back because they want his help because he was building, you know, infrastructure, different things to help them. And at the same time, loving people and influencing people with the gospel and being careful, of course. But what I'm saying is that in that society, what is the predominant way that they control people? Fear and hate. So when you love people, they're going to be open to hear what you got to say. And that's the same thing in this society that we live in, just biting and devouring one another. And when you do something good for somebody and you love them, they're going to just be like a bug to the light. It just is. And it's God's presence in us. So God wants us to maintain a strong spirit, and he wants us to advance his kingdom during this time. Everybody, you know, I saw this funny clip recently. It showed a cruise ship, and it said, "The church is not a cruise ship with a few serving everybody." He said, "It's a battleship with everybody who's on, is at their station working." And that's true. We shouldn't just be, you know, we come to church, we fellowship with one another, but when we go back to our respective homes, we are to touch people and reach people wherever we are. We're all to be, we're the arms, we are the body of Christ, right? Arms and legs and eyes. So remember this, we're just sharing this, John 10:10. In the Passion Translation, you know, in the King James, it says, "The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." But I like the Passion Translation. It says, "A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal and to slaughter and to destroy. But I have come to give you everything." Well, that's what I like. "Everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullest until you overflow." So that means every area. We could have one area that's overflowing, but maybe there's two or three others that are just okay. So that means we got more, we can expand more in that area. We can grow, we can advance more in that area. So we are to advance the kingdom of God. So how are we going to do that? We're going to, as always, we're going to do it by faith and not by sight. That's how we're going to operate. And those things that God has said, with him, nothing is impossible. I've got his presence, then nothing is impossible. You think about how God led, you know, sometimes we forget these stories that are written for our example. We see how God led the Israelites through the desert. Where did he lead them? He led them down to the Red Sea. He led them through mountains where there were cliffs on both sides. There was no way out. He led them out on this area that you know, they found an area that's similar to that area where it was all sandy and so forth. Then what's coming up behind them? We've got Pharaoh's army bearing down on them. There was no way out. And what did God do? He used Moses to stretch out that rod, and he did what? He worked through him. So he, for us, things that look impossible, not with God. When we look like we're cooked, we need to not say, "I'm done for." When it looks like something's impossible or something is monumental in our life, we need to remember who we are and that God is for me and not against me. And he's going to show me how to overcome this. He's going to show me how. Hallelujah. So he has John 16:33. I like this in the Amplified Translation. It says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So when things hit us, he's already deprived it of the power to harm us. And he's already overcome it. Who's in me? The one that overcame it. So I need to start speaking to that circumstance and situation and remind it, you know, any obstacle that comes up and tries to form some kind of opposition to you is not going to want to move, is it? It's going to try to woof and think that it's immovable. But you need to remind it, no, you have to move. Because you've been deprived of the power, it's been stripped of you through the cross, and the greater one is in me, and do what? Do what Jesus said. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, do what? Just hang out and stay? It says, no, be cast out. It says what? Be thou cast into the sea. Plucked up and cast into the sea. And we're to do what? Not doubt in our heart, but believe that the things that we say shall come to pass. We shall have whatsoever we saith. Jesus gave us this example. He told us what to do. He's already stripped it of its power. And what it's trying to do is to get us to do what? Stay and not move. Didn't say it was comfortable. Opposition is not comfortable. But all things are possible to them that believe. So all of the stuff that's going on, all of these things that are rampant, these things even now, this disease that's running around, COVID, it's not that it's not real. It doesn't mean we're supposed to be cavalier and go around and just do whatever because I got God in me. No, put a mask on, be safe. But remember who you are. And I can tell you, I've heard story after story. You know, Brother Hagin talked about it when he was diagnosed with a heart disease and blood disease and all of these things. He said he fed on the word, fed on the word, fed on the word, fed on the word. When he was 16, they didn't expect him to live. And he said it began to dawn on his heart. What does that mean? He began to see light in the word, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said this, well, people are up at this time of the day. Now, he couldn't move his legs. He was paralyzed from the waist down. You know what he said he did? He obeyed what he heard. The Holy Ghost said, well, people are up at this time. He took his leg and threw it out of the bed. Most of us would go, I can't walk. But he began to see in the word, and the Holy Ghost spoke to him. What did he have to do? Just like what they did in Peter and James and John's time. Get up and walk. And what did that person do? They took him by the hand, and what did they do? Just say, I can't get up. No, they got up, and the power of God hit him. And that's what happened to Brother Hagin. He said he threw his leg over. He said it was like a dead piece of wood. He said he grabbed onto the bedpost, stood there, and he said it was like warm honey began to flow over his body. And he said instantly he was healed. Well, God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. His spirit hasn't changed. So when disease or things touch my body, it's been deprived of the power. It cannot stay if you won't let it. You've got to speak to it. You've got to believe that the word is greater. The life of God in me is quickening my mortal body. So even if something touches your body, don't wither up and whimper. Stand up and say, you've got to go in the name of Jesus. And I've heard stories even that come into the ministry and others that I've heard that people that have had this COVID disease, they've spoke to it and it's gone. And so we have to stand up to these things that the devil tries to cause us to do what? Fear. And that's what he wants us to do. Keep feeding on it. Keep feeding on the news. 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 Oh my God. No, the greater one is in me. The greater one is in me. He stripped the devil of his power to harm. And we need to remind him of that. God is looking for an army that'll go through this land and confront the works of the devil. He wants us to begin to rise up and advance. And that's what he's looking for us to do. He's bigger. He's greater. Hallelujah. In James, let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 2 and 3. Chapter 1 and verse 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to read this in the King James, then the Passion Translation. But I like this. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into. That term, when you fall into, that just means you're encompassed about something. Something has encompassed you. It doesn't mean I just happened to stroll into something. It just means that you're encompassed about with some stuff. That's what that means. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when? When you fall into, when you're encompassed about with what? Divers temptations. It means adversity. So when you're encompassed about with adversity and affliction and troubles, what are we supposed to do? Whimper and whine? No, count it all joy. And it goes on. Why am I counting it all joy? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith does something. What does it do? It worketh patience. Well, that word patience is endurance. So it goes on, but let endurance or patience have her perfect work. That means just bring it to a mature state, that you may be perfect or mature, entire, wanting nothing. So when stuff happens, when you're encompassed about with all of these issues in life, it says, count it all joy and let patience, endurance work. And that's what, if you just consider, whenever we've let something go, what did we do? We said, I don't want to deal with this, right? Most of us. So what did you do? You got discouraged. And that's why people give up. I mean, you just look at, why do armies lose? They get discouraged and they quit or they surrender, right? But you can go out in some where they've got armies that'll have a few and they stood and defeated the enemy. So the devil will put the screws to us to do what? Quit. To give up. To not endure. And so we have to have that mindset and heart that's why it's important to have and maintain a strong spirit. Because when your spirit is strong, it says you can maintain, what does it say, even a sickness or a problem. It says, but a strong heart will maintain. So we need to keep a strong heart, a strong, diligent heart, patient heart. And this said here, the word patience, I'm reading this from a commentary, this particular paragraph. It said, the word patience or endurance conveys the idea of being steadfast, consistent, unwavering, and unflinching. It is the attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under, I'm not budging one inch. This is my spot, my territory. This is my spot, and I'm telling you right now, there isn't enough pressure in the whole world to make me move or give it up. And we have to have that heart and mind that Jesus is in me. His Spirit is in me. God is in me, and I'm not budging. He defeated the devil, and I'm here to remind him. Yeah, it may get uncomfortable, but we're going to hold steady. I wanted to read this. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 through 23. Proverbs chapter 4, along this line of advancing, but I wanted to look at this particular, I'll read this in the King James. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them," his words, his sayings, "not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health," or medicine, my margin says, "to all their flesh." Then verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. This word "issues" in the Hebrew means boundaries. So what comes out of my heart, you know, what you speak is what is really your faith speaking. When you speak, you're setting boundaries. If you say you can't do it, you're setting a boundary. If you say you can't afford that, you set a boundary. You may not have the money, but you can say God will supply it. Don't set boundaries like that. Don't set boundaries that defeat you and put barriers for God to help you. Keep your mouth and your speech right. Keep your heart. What flows out of my heart sets boundaries. And so I like this. This is in the Good News Translation. In verse 23, it says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." And this is the New Living Translation. Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Watch what comes out of your mouth. You know, you may have thoughts in your mind, and you may be bombarding your things and thoughts, you know, this doesn't look good. I can't do this. We can't do this. We can't do this. I'm defeated. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. What does it say? "Casting down every vain thought and imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." I'm to cast that down and begin to let the word of God, let things come out of my heart that says, we are going to do this. But your mind is going, how are we going to do that? I don't know, but we're going to do it. And I can tell you this, the more that you speak into this earth realm and you begin to speak what you are going to do, God is responsible then to watch over his word to do what? Perform it. And so what will happen is if I speak those words out there, then God will begin to cause things to happen in your life to fulfill that. And so no, I don't know how it's going to happen. If I was, I'd be God. I don't know. All I'm responsible to do is to do what? Guard my heart. Just guard your heart. Watch what comes out of your mouth. And then God will bring to pass what you say. I mean, I've seen it so often. You know, you don't know how something's going to happen. We say, I'm not giving in to this opposition. No. It's meant to stop me. No, I'm not doing it. I'll give you an example. I mean, a big example. We, you know, trying to get ready for this meeting coming up. Opposition after opposition after opposition. And the thoughts were coming Just cancel it. Just cancel it. Because it's easy to quit. It's easy to cancel, isn't it? Just cancel it. Tell Brother Copeland, you know, we'll do it next year. And I'll guarantee you, next year it'll be something else. Next year, some other opposition had come up and it stopped you. And you're going to have to do what? Stand. You're going to have to stand against opposition. Because anything that you do for God, the devil's going to try to stop it. Anything. I don't care what it is. And the more you do, the more the opposition. You know, look at Paul's life. Just look at Paul's life. Go over to 2 Corinthians. He said, I've had enough. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient. And what did Paul say? Then I rejoice. So we have to keep and maintain a strong spirit. And I'll tell you, the more I dug my, I said, we're not canceling this meeting. No. I mean, you got a 3,000-seat arena that you haven't used in 2 years. Trying to get it ready, let me tell you, it's more than an ocean. And everybody's working like you wouldn't believe, and volunteers coming in. But it's still not enough. And when you look at it, you're 2 weeks out, and you're like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to get this all done in 2 weeks? How are we going to do this? And I said, nope. We are going to get it done. I don't know how, but we're going to get it done. And then little by little, we started getting favor from this vendor or from this. People calling up that we haven't heard saying, can I volunteer? They even go to the church. Can I help? Sure, come on over. That's what I'm talking about. God will send his angels out and put the heart on people, put it on people's heart to help, put it on vendors to help. But you've got to make a decision. I'm standing. I'm going to stand. I'm not budging. This is my spot. And we're going to hear from God. Because when somebody operates in the office like Brother Copeland, let me tell you, there's opposition. He does not want somebody like that coming into your presence and sharing what thus saith the Lord. To do what? Help people. The devil wants it to be shut down. And I said, no. N-O. And the same thing happens with you, whatever it is in your life. Anytime that you're standing for God and standing up, even if it's just standing up to oppose sickness or disease or lack in your life, what is the saying? He said, it's harder to crush an acorn than an oak tree. So he'll get in there and try to mash you as an acorn just starting out. But when you start to grow and to grow up, it's going to be much harder to stop that. So make a decision. I'm standing. I'm growing. I'm advancing in the things of God. Because what does it say? It says, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh unto God, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So no matter what we do in life, we're going to get opposition, but we've got, if my aim is to please God, I'm going to have to walk by faith. And it's not going to be pleasant sometimes. And we're just going to have to decide, I love God, he loves me, I want to please him, I'm going to stand. And be open to hear him too. He may tell you, go to the left, do this, slow down. Don't override those nudges and prompts. Because that sometimes we get into trouble. But God is a good God. And he wants us to grow. And 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, while we look not at what? The things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things that are not seen are what? Eternal. So God is showing us how. And this is the thing, that obstacles in our lives that, like mountains, may seem what? Deep and imposing. They seem to do what? Block our way and block our view or vision ahead. So sometimes a mountain, you know, it's here, I can't see ahead. And you may see, you know, if God showed you everything in advance, you'd be like, man, I'm plowing through this. But he wants us to operate by faith, right? He may not show you everything that's in front of you. He's not going to show you all the lives that are going to be affected by the decision that you make or don't make. So the Lord has told us what? In Mark 11:23, that these obstacles can be moved. And so the question of their removal is one of what? Authority. And he gave us authority to do that. So the removal piece is, we're here in this earth, we're to exercise the God-given authority that we have to move the obstacles. I mean, it's not my power, but it's his power. But in, we've been given his authority. He gave us his name. He gave us his blood. He gave us the angels to work on our behalf. So he's given us, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. So that means a seat of authority that we have. So the devil just wants to fight and make you think you're defeated. But faith always announces the outcome right in the middle of the fight. Faith always announces the outcome. We're winners. We're going to win. We're overcomers. And so all of these things, it's so important to remember. Back to what I was starting with, you're a spirit. Yeah, we have this shell, this body that interacts with this world, with our five senses, what we see, taste, touch, hear, and smell. All these senses, we touch this earth realm. But I'm literally in communication with God 24/7 with my heart, with my spirit. And I am never alone. I'm never without his guidance, never without his help. And he wants us to do what? Advance. And as he's the commander, he will guide us. He'll show us how to advance. And it's going to be different for everybody, but you know what? Just like any team, everybody brings a supply to the team, doesn't it? Some have a little more supply, some have a little bit over here, but I can guarantee you, just like the parable of the talents, if I start to take and use what God has given me and I exercise it, he then is in a position to choose and say, you've done well, I'm going to give you some more. I don't want to be the one that said, what'd you do with what I gave you, O wretched servant? So I know for me, it's my heart's desire to advance in the things of God, advance God's kingdom, so that we can do more for him, reach more people, touch people's lives. People are hurting. People are just, I think the main thing, people want to know that people care for them, love them, and we're here to help people, not abuse people, right? Pray with them. They need hands laid upon them for the sick. You lay hands upon them and pray. But I tell you, just like the scripture says, the thief comes for only one purpose in mind: to steal, to kill, or to slaughter and to destroy. But I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So go this week and keep reminding yourself as you go. Don't get so busy that you don't forget. Be aware. You know, I was sharing this a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know what? Any woman that's been pregnant and has had a child, the moment you became pregnant, you became aware that something has changed in you. You became aware that there was a life inside of you. And you became more aware as that baby grew. And I said, and the Holy Spirit kind of flashed that in my thinking about his presence. And he said, why are my people not aware of my presence? So even in the natural, women are very aware of a life inside them. Why are we not aware of his presence as much as we should be? Yeah, I know we get busy, but the more you become and make sure that you recognize that he lives in me. You know, if you think about spiritual things and you talk about spiritual things, and you pray in the Spirit, and you feed upon spiritual things, you will be more aware of spiritual things. And you'll be more aware of him, because he's a spirit. But if I'm more aware of natural things, and I keep feeding on natural things, and I keep meditating on natural things, I'm going to become less aware of who's in me. So that's all I'm really sharing, is that let's advance and increase on the spiritual things, and we become more sensitive and more aware to him. And that as we go through life, we won't have to be overtaken by the, or encompassed about. We may be, but we're not overcome. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are helping us in life, that you live in us, you're guiding us, you're leading us. We know you, and we know your spirit, we know your voice, we know your leadings, and we thank you for leading us and guiding us into all truth. And the entrance of your word brings light and revelation. And Father, we thank you that even as we go through life with all of its facets, and we thank you, Father, that we are overcomers in Christ, and that all things are possible to us in Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen. Just before we dismiss, I always like to extend an opportunity, because we never know where people's hearts are. And the reason I say that is because there was a man that went to our church for many, 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 many years. He went for 7, 8, 9 years, and we just thought he was just somebody, you know, he was a dear brother that came, but he had never accepted the Lord. And he finally one day raised his hand. We thought you were saved. He said, no, I never did accept Christ. So you never know, because you never know a person's heart. And so sometimes you just always just, you know, without assuming everybody knows Jesus, you extend that offer. And you've maybe never, maybe you believed in your heart. Maybe, you know, again, it's always remember that when you're sharing something, even in your own personal life with someone, that word may never have registered on their heart. Everybody understand that? Just like you're reading something in the Bible and it registers on your heart and you see something you never saw in the scriptures before. We've all experienced that. So the same thing applies where salvation is concerned. Someone could have heard that over and over and over again, but at some point it did what? It just registered and they go, oh, I need to ask Jesus into my heart. I see that. You see? So never assume anything. So we just extend that as the scripture says that we're to do what? Believe unto righteousness and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe that he is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. And let me just read that. Let's all read it together. Romans chapter 10, as Paul is writing to the Romans. He said, if thou, in verse 9, it says, if you'll confess, or thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him, Christ, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That word in the Greek is sozo, S-O-Z-O, and that not only means salvation, but it also means health, preservation. So we've been saved not only from eternal damnation, but we've been saved from sickness and disease. Jesus took that. And as we read in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. But verse 10, it continues, for with the heart, remember we're talking about the heart today, man believeth. So it's the heart where man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what is that saying? You have to confess what you believe, and it will cause something to happen. So when you confess that you believe that you are healed, the power of God goes into effect and begins to restore my body and heal my body. When I believe and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe that he was raised from the dead, the power of God goes into effect and does what? Changes my spirit. Now I'm a brand new person in Christ. I'm saved. So the things, these principles operate the same. Believing in your heart and confessing what you believe. So let's say that simple prayer. Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Savior, and that you raised him from the dead, and I believe that he took our sins and our sicknesses to hell, and when sin was paid for, you raised him from the dead. I receive him now as my Savior, as my Lord. And I ask you, Father, to cleanse me with your blood, make something new of me, and I believe now that I am saved. If you said that simple prayer and you don't ever recall doing that, then you just got born again. You just got saved. And if you did, then we'll give you some free information. Just let me know that you did that, and we'll give you some free information sharing what just happened to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.